A watercolor painting depicts snow-covered mountains surrounded by forest pines. The painting hangs above the door in a meeting room where support group members sit in a circle.
Every day was the same. Is there anyone?
A young woman with tattoos holds back tears.
Anyone in my old life who would still talk to me? Wouldn't hang up the phone when I asked for money. And as soon as I got that money, it was gone. And then I needed more. Like that guy in the story. And that guy who keeps pushing the rock up the hill, and every time he gets to the top, it rolls straight back down. Every day I pushed that rock up the hill, and every day it rolled right back down to the bottom. But I'm here now, and I know that every day can be a fresh start if you want it to.
A man with glasses leads the group.
Amen, Jade. Thank you. Thank you.
The man turns to a young woman with long dark hair. She sits with a disinterested look.
Darby.
Darby, the young woman with long dark hair, looks back at him blankly.
Darby, it's your turn.
Okay. Darby, 11 days. The whole pushing a rock up the hill thing is very moving. I remember the first time I heard you tell that story at the recovery center. What was that, like 2 years ago?
Darby looks down and shakes her head.
Honestly, what are we doing here?
Sobriety is a battle. It's a daily battle.
Oh, I know. I've tried 7 times. The sobriety center, Way Forward Recovery Clinic, A Better Tomorrow, NA. But hey, it's rehab or jail.
Darby, I've sat where you're sitting. I told myself the same thing. Rehab doesn't work. But
excuse me.
A nurse walks in.
Darby, phone for you.
Just a minute, Mike.
They said it's urgent.
Carry on.
Darby gets out of her chair and steps into an office with the nurse. She picks up a phone.
Hello?
It's Joe. Your mom's in the Lakeview Hospital. She had a brain aneurysm. Doctor said there's a lot of bleeding in her brain, so they're going to operate tonight. I know you haven't talked to anyone since you left, but you should call your sister. Devin's at the hospital now. I'll give you her number. 801-555-0148.
Wait.
801-555-0148. You got that?
Yeah.
She writes it on her hand.
Look, I'm not sure I should even be calling you, but I just thought you ought to know.
No, we need you.
I'm sorry, I gotta go. Things are crazy here right now.
Yeah, I'm. Yeah, I'm going to now.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Okay,
bye.
You okay? Darby?
Yeah, my mom. I need to make a call.
Mike hangs up the phone.
No outgoing calls. You know the rules.
My mom is in the hospital. I have to call my sister.
Last week you said your mom was in a car accident.
Last week I was in detox. Who knows what the fuck I was saying?
Okay, well, this is a big thing, Darby. I have to call Dr.
What's
Fletcher.
Going on?
My mom is in the hospital. He won't let me make a call.
Darby, you know the rules. I have to speak with Dr. Fletcher. He's your doctor.
Darby passes the phone to the man.
Call him.
Mike takes it and dials a number.
Tell him that it's urgent.
Hey, Dr. Fletcher, it's Mike from the center. Can you give me a call when you get this message?
Tell him that it's urgent.
Mike hangs up.
It's Friday afternoon.
Go fuck your Friday afternoon.
Darby storms off.
Darby.
At night, in a hallway, Darby knocks on a door.
Jade.
Jade, the woman with tattoos, opens the door.
What? I need to borrow your phone.
I don't have a phone.
Sarah told me that you let her call her kids yesterday. If you don't give it to me, I'm going to tell Dr. Bill that his perfect patient has a phone, and then no one gets to make calls.
In her room, Darby makes a call.
I'm doing this program at this center here. It's actually going really well. You need to call them and tell them what's going on so I can come and see Mom. You call them, it will be fine.
Jesus, Darby, I'm not bailing you out of rehab. I've got enough problems with Mom in the hospital. Fuck, I told Joe not to look for you. No one has time for your bullshit right now. Mom could die.
Devin.
Don't call me back.
Darby puts down the phone and nervously bites her thumb. Darby ponders, her eyes darting. In the hallway, Darby looks over her shoulder as she sneaks down the hall. She reaches an intersection and looks both ways. She turns a corner and reaches into her backpack. She walks up to a door with a sign that reads Janitor's Closet. She slides a card through the latch. Inside the closet, she takes a hammer and screwdriver from a tool bag and puts them in her backpack. She removes the blade from a handsaw. Later, she peeks out of the closet.
Hey, Mikey, can you give me a hand with Susan?
What's the problem?
Since you had a nightmare.
She slowly steps out into the hallway. She looks over her shoulder before walking towards a set of blue doors at the end of the hall. She sprints down the hall and pushes through the doors. The title, No Exit, appears in bold red lettering. Outside, Darby jams the saw blade into the window of a red 90s sports car. She unlocks it and gets inside. She finds a small bag of white powder taped to the sun visor.
One day at a time, huh, Mikey?
She takes the screwdriver from her backpack and places it into the key slot. She taps it with a hammer and turns the ignition. The car peels out of its spot and speeds past the staff parking sign. Later, Darby drives along a highway.
This is Devin. Leave a message.
It's me. I'll be in Salt Lake by morning. Call me back, Devin. I need to know how Mom is.
The car's windshield wipers brush off snow. Darby stares ahead with a determined look.
Weather alert. Incident ahead. Expect delays.
Darby takes the next off-ramp and exits the highway. A flurry of snow falls around the car as Darby continues driving. A snowstorm builds as Darby drives along a dark mountain road flanked by pine trees. Darby continues driving through the dense snowfall. The windshield wipers sweep back and forth at full speed. A pop-up on her phone reads, "Message notification." Darby pulls over to the side of the road and picks up her phone. A series of messages read, "Mom doesn't want you here. You'll only make it worse. Don't come." Darby stares ahead, contemplating. She reaches into her backpack and pulls out the small bag of white powder. Outside, snow swirls around the car. Inside the car, Darby shuts her eyes and takes slow, measured breaths. The driver's side window is consumed by a bright light. A hand pounds against the glass, and the faint outline of a struggling girl appears. Darby lies unconscious in the driver's seat with her mouth hanging open and a rubber tourniquet around her arm. In the present, a police officer knocks on the window and shines a flashlight. Darby jolts awake. She hides the white powder and rolls down the window.
You okay, ma'am?
I pulled over for a break. I think I must have fallen asleep.
Not the best place for a nap.
Yeah, I know. Huh. I'll get going.
No, you won't. The road's closed. The interstate's closed, too. The storm's just getting started.
My mom is in the hospital. I have to get to Salt Lake City.
No one's getting through until the storm passes. You got two choices. You can either head back down, or I opened up the visitor center for some folks. It's a few hundred yards up the road. You can wait it out there. Ma'am, you need to decide now.
I'll go to the visitor center.
When you get there, you stop. Promise me you won't drive on. You won't get through, and I don't want to find your car under a snowbank in the morning, okay?
Darby watches as the officer walks back to his SUV cruiser. She rolls up her window and looks on as the cruiser drives off in the opposite direction. Darby continues driving down the road. The flashing lights of the cruiser disappears as it drives off in the opposite direction. At the foot of the mountains, snow whirls down from the sky. In the parking lot of a rest stop, an American flag flaps in the heavy wind. Darby pulls into the lot and passes a Jeep and cargo van. A sign reads Muir's Rest Visitor Center. Darby circles the lot and passes in front of the visitor center, a wooden lodge-style building with large windows. She passes a tree with a thick trunk and parks near the front entrance. She turns off the engine and looks out at the visitor center through the window. Darby gets out of the car and her hair blows in the strong winds of the storm. She approaches the visitor center and walks in through the front door. In a rest area with wood paneled walls, an older couple sits at a table.
Shut the door, hon. You're letting in the cold.
Darby shuts the door. She notices a man sleeping in the corner and a young man with shoulder length hair sitting at another table with earbuds in his ears.
Bathroom?
Back around the map.
Darby passes the large terrain map on the wall and heads into a back hallway.
Right, what that cop said, we can always head back up the mountain.
Go back down.
Moving through the wood-paneled hallway, she turns a corner and passes the men's room. She turns another corner and finds the women's room blocked off with caution tape. She steps under the tape and flicks a set of light switches. The final switch turns on the lights. She steps into the bathroom and looks around at the work lamps, ladders, and tools. The back wall is boarded up with two panels of wood. Later, Darby knocks on the men's room door.
Anybody in there?
She pushes the door open. In the stall, she looks over the text messages on her phone. She puts the phone away. She takes out the bag of white powder and fidgets with it in her hands. In the rest area, she dumps a packet of sugar into a cup of coffee. She glances over at the sleeping man in the corner. She turns her attention back to the cup and pours more sugar. Several empty packets are on the table. Darby takes out her phone and turns to the young man with earbuds.
Do you have the Wi-Fi? Excuse me?
No, there's no Wi-Fi.
The older man walks in from outside.
Storm's on top of us now.
Well?
I got one bar by the tree for about 10 seconds.
Which tree?
Your tree. The tree in the middle of the lot.
Outside, Darby stands in the middle of the parking lot holding up her phone. She walks past the Jeep and waves the phone higher. She walks further into the lot and passes the cargo van. A hand presses against the back window. Darby sharply turns to the van. Darby looks around and cautiously approaches the van. She tries peeking in through the side window, but it's blocked with cardboard. She walks around the back and wipes the frost off an uncovered window. A blonde-haired girl is tied up inside. Darby jumps back before looking back in. Darby looks around. She pulls against the door handles, but they won't open. She tries the side door. It's locked. She returns to the back window.
I'm here.
Darby looks at the people sitting inside the visitor center through the windows. She looks at the Nevada license plate on the van and takes a picture of it on her phone. Darby looks through the window of the van.
I'm gonna get you out, okay? I promise, okay?
She notices the young man looking through the visitor center window. Darby scans the area and composes herself. She waves her phone in front of her and steps out from behind the van. She gets into the sports car. She takes out her phone and dials 911.
Come on. Shit.
There's no service. The older man steps out into the parking lot. Darby looks through the side view mirror and sees him standing just outside the car. She takes the saw blade from her backpack and stuffs it into her coat. She gets out of the snow-covered car and sees the man holding up his phone.
Leaving already?
No, I just got something in my car.
Yeah, you were out here so long, I thought maybe you got some service.
Nothing.
She walks past him and heads for the door. She steps inside and the man walks in behind her. Darby looks down at the man sleeping in the corner. She turns and looks at the older woman sitting at the table, then turns her attention to the young man with earbuds sitting alone in the corner.
Hey. Hey, are you okay? Why don't you come on over here and sit down? Make yourself comfortable. We are here till the storm clears.
And then some.
The man shuffles cards.
So what's your name?
Darby. I'm Sandy.
Ed.
Darby looks out at the van through the window.
And what's your name, son?
Sandy waves to the young man with earbuds. He stares at her blankly and pulls out his earbuds.
What's your name?
Lars.
The sleeping man wakes up. He's a young man with a thin mustache.
Was I snoring? I was snoring, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Place sure filled up.
Now, what about you? What's your name?
Oh, I'm Ash.
Sandy, Ed, Darby, and Lars.
Anybody want to play?
You can't wait.
We're stuck here. Seven card stud. Quarter of hand.
I don't gamble.
I'm smart.
What about you, Ash?
Oh, I'm not too good at poker.
Perfect. Wanna play? Got a lot of time.
I got a game everyone can play.
What's that?
Bullshit.
Bullshit?
Yeah, bullshit. It's the best game.
Okay. I'll try anything once.
Really?
Yeah, come on.
Okay.
Darby stares out at the van through the window. Lars sits next to her at the round table.
Sandy, you in?
Fine, but aren't you scared you're gonna lose? You know I can see right through your bullshit.
Oh.
Your game, your deal, Mr. Bullshit. How do we play this thing?
Well, it's pretty simple. I divide the cards evenly between everyone, and then the person to the left of the dealer puts a card face down on the table.
They Darby looks out at the van.
Let's can see it because it's face down. The next person's got to put a card down on top of that. It's either the same value, one higher or one lower. Two don't matter. So if I put down a two, the next person's got to put down a two, a three, or an eight. And all the cards are always in the house, so either got to take care of the work or think someone's lying.
You call bullshit.
Darby jolts back.
Then what?
Lars grins.
That depends. If you call bullshit, the person's got to show the card they put down. If they were lying, they got to pick up all the cards on the table. But if they weren't lying, the person who called bullshit has to pick up all the cards. First person to get rid of all their cards wins. 10 cards each leaves two in the middle, face down.
Sure we don't want to make this interesting?
Well, it's a friendly game. Let's keep it that way.
Left of the dealer goes first.
Darby puts down a card.
Jack, so where's everyone from?
Jack. Lower Haight. It's right next to San Fran.
San Jose. Jack.
Jack.
Oh, 4 in a row to start a game?
They got a name for that?
Yeah, Bullshitter's Row.
That's not a thing. Queen.
Jack?
Bullshit, Jacks are out.
She turns over her card, Jack of Hearts.
Ooh. Mm. If you had 2 jacks, you should put them both down.
I just did.
But at the same time.
Is that the rule?
I guess you don't have to. It's your turn.
Ash puts down a card.
6. 7.
2 8.
So, Lars, you didn't say where are you from?
Battle Mountain.
Where is that?
2 9s.
Bullshit.
God damn it.
You cleared your throat. Everybody's got to tell. Trick is play the man, not the hand.
Everybody's got to tell, huh?
Hmm.
What's yours?
You're gonna have to figure that one out for yourself.
Ash smirks. Darby puts down 2 cards.
2 6s.
Where are you from?
Sacramento.
5. So you're a big poker guy, huh?
4. Guilty. Picked it up in the service.
2 5s.
4.
You're in the Army?
Marines. 22nd MEU.
My dad was a Marine.
Yeah? Where'd he serve?
3rd Battalion, 1st Marines.
Fallujah?
Yeah.
Some hard fighting.
Were you there?
No. I stopped after Desert Storm.
Oh, well, thank you for your service, really. And then your dad, too.
Okay. Everyone always says that. And it sounds about as empty as thoughts and prayers.
Hey.
But nobody knows what you sacrificed,
Dad. Okay.
I didn't mean to offend. I'm sorry. I really.
No offense, Dick.
Do you ever kill anyone?
Jesus.
What?
I lost count. Just kidding.
Darby looks out at the van.
Your turn, Darby.
3. So, where's everyone headed?
2 2s.
Ah, Reno. Yeah, Sandy here surprised me with a little vacation to my favorite city.
Reno's your favorite city?
All the action of Vegas, half the noise. Ace.
Ace. And you, Darby?
2 2s.
3, Salt Lake.
4. What's in Salt Lake?
My mom's in the hospital.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
Sandy's a nurse.
Was a nurse.
2 5.
Bullshit.
God damn it.
Told ya.
I go through Salt Lake on my way home.
Where's home?
My parents live in Johnstown near Denver.
Oh, that's a long drive. Queen.
King.
Bullshit.
Bullshit.
Lars picks up the cards.
9. Lars, so where are you headed?
I'm headed home.
10.
Battle Mountain?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the middle of Nevada.
Darby looks down nervously. Darby's eyes turn back to the van.
Are you gonna play or what?
2 9s.
Darby glances at Lars.
3 10s.
Damn.
Bullshit.
She turns over her 3 10s.
Ooh. Schooled in your own game. That's a bad beat.
Fuck that!
He throws his cards.
Oh, hey, buddy. Relax.
You playing 52 pickup now?
That's not funny. Don't make fun of me.
No one's laughing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry. Sorry.
He picks up the cards.
You need help with that?
No.
You need to relax, young man.
Darby gets up from the table and walks into the back hallway. She walks through the hallway and into the women's bathroom. Inside the bathroom, she dials 911. In a text to 911, she writes, "Child abduction, blue Chevy Astro, Muir's Rest, guy named Lars, going to Battle Mountain, Nevada." She attaches a photo of the license plate. The messages fail to send. Darby looks at the boarded up back wall of the bathroom. Darby takes a box cutter and a wrench from a tool belt hanging from a table. She uses the back of a hammer to remove the nails in the boards. Darby pushes one of the boards aside and crawls through a tarp covering the wall. Outside, she treads through the snow behind the visitor's center. She sneaks behind trees on the outer edge of the parking lot. She looks over at the van from between two trees. She peers over at the visitor center, then back at the van. She dashes out from the trees and runs behind the van. She takes out the saw blade and slides it into the passenger side window. She opens the door and climbs in. Darby kneels down in front of the girl.
"We're getting out of here, okay? I'm just gonna cut you free."
She notices a medical alert bracelet on the girl's wrist.
"Are you sick?"
Darby lies down and covers herself with a blanket. Lars gets into the driver's seat.
"That's a bad beat, huh? 52 pickup, huh? That's funny. That's real funny, huh? I'll put a bullet in your fucking brain, funny. How about that, huh?" "Oh, sorry, Jay. Sometimes people, you're lucky you're out here, Jay. That place is full of liars and cheats. Yeah, I just can't warm it up for you."
Inside, Ed looks at the van through the window.
"Where's he going?"
"Sore Loserville."
"Good thing he doesn't gamble."
"Oh, it's gonna be a long night."
Lars taps the heating vents.
"Yeah, that's better, huh? Feeling better? You don't look so great."
Lars looks into the back of the van.
"Oh, what the hell? Oh, shit."
He covers the back window with a piece of cardboard.
"Did you do that? Don't touch the cardboard, okay?"
Darby extends the box cutter. She notices a pistol tucked into Lars's belt.
"I know this is the scary part, but you're gonna be all right. You're gonna be more than all right. Just gotta hang in there, Jay, all right? It'll get much better when we get to Uncle Kenny's. Trust me. Shit, I was gonna bring you a snack. You like snacks? BRB."
Lars climbs out of the van. Darby emerges from under the blanket. She turns to Jay, the girl.
"I can't be here when he comes back. There's not much time. Listen. Your name's Jay, right? My name's Darby, and
I need to go get help. I'll come back. I promise I will. I promise."
In the rest area, Lars takes packs of food from a counter. He glances over his shoulder and stuffs the packs into his jacket pocket. Lars heads back to the door.
"Party in the van?"
Lars stops and glares at Ed.
I left my phone out there.
Mm-hmm.
Lars opens the door and steps outside. In the van, Darby strokes Jay's hair.
I'll be back as soon as I can.
Darby leaves the box cutter next to Jay and climbs to the front of the van. Darby looks through the driver's side window and sees Lars approaching the van. She opens the passenger door and climbs outside. Lars broods as he walks through the lot.
Party then.
He takes out his keys and drops them. He bends over to pick them up. He stops and looks over the snow. His eyes follow a set of footprints leading to the trees at the edge of the lot. Lars turns back to the van with a concerned face. He opens the door and sees Jay inside. He slides the door shut. Inside the visitor center, Ash walks through the back hallway and approaches the door to the women's bathroom.
Hello?
Darby crawls back inside through the tarp.
Yeah, are you okay, man? Look, if you need someone to talk to about your mom...
She opens the door. She pulls Ash inside.
Just please.
Yeah. Lars barges in. Darby makes out with Ash. Lars hangs his head and leaves the room. Darby checks the bathroom door.
What the hell's going on?
He has a little girl tied up in his van.
Mr. Bullshit.
She's little, like 9 or 10.
I knew he was a fucking creep. We need to call the cops.
I tried, no service.
Shit, no. What do we do?
I don't know. I hope maybe you or...
Okay, maybe we can wait until there's a break in the storm, and then we could call the cops.
No, it's gonna take too long.
He's not gonna be able to go anywhere. There's a blizzard, he can't drive it
out. No. She's sick or something. She could die out there.
We gotta go get her.
Yeah, but he's probably just waiting out there. I think he knows that I was in the van. That's why he came in here.
If he suspects you, then he'll follow you out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you go outside, he follows you out. Just long enough for me to tell Ed, and then the both of us will follow you straight out.
He has a gun.
Look, maybe Ed has a gun. He's a Marine. All right, you're gonna be okay. You're not gonna be out there by yourself.
What if Ed doesn't have a gun?
Ash looks around the bathroom.
We have to find something here.
Ash rummages through a tool chest. He pulls out a nail gun. In the rest area, Ed and Sandy look over the large map.
So, where is Reno?
Oh, it's not on this map.
Darby walks through the hall.
40 miles north of
Lake Tahoe. I bet it'll still be there when the storm clears.
In the rest area, she glares at Lars as she walks to the door.
I'm sorry, we're stuck here.
It's not your fault.
I was the one that said we should stay.
In the parking lot, Darby looks over her shoulder as she approaches the van. She opens the door and sits inside. Lars walks outside.
I have to pull it off. I feel like a band-aid. 1, 2.
Darby pulls the tape off of Jay's mouth.
Fuck. It's okay. We're getting you out of here right now, okay?
But where are the men?
Men?
The ones who took me.
Darby looks through the window.
How many men were there? How many men?
Two.
Outside, Ash approaches Lars.
She's in the van.
Yeah, no shit, she's in the van.
Darby backs away from the window. She stares ahead in shock. Outside, Ash is with Lars.
Why would you bring up Battle Mountain?
Well, you know, I'm not good at making things up.
Then stay quiet, listen, and that's it. Stay fucking quiet. Now we gotta do damage control. Give me the gun.
Lars hands him the pistol. Ash gives Lars a backpack.
What's this?
Careful. I rigged the safety so it fires like a real gun. We were gonna ambush you.
Lars stares at the nail gun.
Let's go.
What are we gonna do? Ash?
Keys.
Ash slides open the door and aims the pistol. Jay lies alone. Inside.
Did you see anything?
No.
Ed sits staring through the window.
I'm going out there.
Ed. Just relax.
Outside, Ash scans the trees beyond the parking lot. Darby sneaks through the woods. She peeks at Ash through the trees. Ash spots her dashing between two trees.
Keep fucking quiet.
Ash shuts the van door. In the woods, Darby trips and falls. She gets up and continues running. Ash runs across the lot with Lars.
Go around!
Ash runs up to the front door. Lars runs to the back and sees Darby crawling back through the tarp. Ed watches as Ash comes back inside.
Everything okay?
Yeah. It's all good.
Outside, Lars sneaks around to the front door. Inside, Darby runs through the bathroom. Ash aims at her. Lars hides the nail gun behind a trash bin before walking up to the door. Ed stares as he steps inside. Lars glances at Ed before bowing his head and walking across the room. He takes a seat at the table in the corner. Sandy stares at him and shakes her head. Lars puts in his earbuds.
I don't like that guy.
Ed, you don't know that guy.
I've known plenty of that guy. Weird little white boys with a chip on their shoulder.
In the bathroom.
Give me your phone.
Ash points the pistol at Darby's chest. She hands him her phone and he looks at the unsent messages to 911. Ash deletes the messages.
Did you text anyone else about this?
No.
Let's see.
He scrolls through her other messages.
Who sent these?
My sister.
And she's expecting at the hospital. And why would she write that? She doesn't want you there, and apparently neither does your mom.
Why do you care?
I need to know who's messing up my life right now.
Hey!
Lars pulls out his earbuds.
Where's Darby?
Darby?
Yeah, Darby.
I don't know.
Lars shrugs. Ed's eyes remain fixed on him.
And she's outside, trying to find bars.
Darby's outside.
Yeah.
Be back in a minute.
Ed gets up and puts on his coat. Sandy glares at Lars. Ash and Darby are in the bathroom.
So your mom kicked you out of home, huh? Why'd she kick you out?
Lots of reasons.
Yeah? What'd you do?
Drugs.
What kind of drugs?
Whatever I could get.
I bet your dad's loving that, huh? Big time war hero with a junkie daughter.
He's dead.
When he died in the war.
He shot himself in the head.
Like this?
Ash points the pistol at her forehead.
No.
Was it like this?
He presses it under her chin.
Oh, then it must have been like this.
He puts it in her mouth. Ash lowers the pistol and steps back. In the van, Jay cuts at the tape around her wrists with a box cutter. Ed scans his surroundings as he walks through the parking lot. In the bathroom of the visitor center, Ash stands in front of Darby.
First the kid gets sick, and there's a storm, and now you, a junkie.
You don't know me.
I know exactly who you are.
At least I'm not a child molester.
I'm not a fucking child molester. This is about money. You should see the house that little girl lives in. Her dad's some tech big shot, so he's gonna pay, and then we're gonna ship her back without a fucking scratch.
She's sick. She needs a doctor.
Yeah, no shit. She's got Addison's. If she gets too excited, she'll OD on adrenaline. So your little intervention didn't do her any favors.
Ed walks up to the back of the van. In the van, Jay cuts at the tape. Ed pulls at the back doors of the van. Inside, Jay's eyes dart. Ed turns back to the visitor center and sees Sandy pacing in front of the window. She heads into the back hall.
So here's what's gonna happen. We're gonna walk out.
Ash tucks the pistol into his waistband. He kisses Darby as Sandy walks in.
I think I could talk to Darby for a moment, please.
Sure. I'll see you outside.
He kisses Darby.
Fuck this up. I'll kill everyone.
Ash stares at Darby as he leaves the bathroom.
Sorry to interrupt.
We're stuck here, so.
Ed walks back to the front door.
There's anything else that you,
I can handle it.
Darby.
Lars was spying on us earlier. So I wanted to talk to Ash alone without him following me.
Okay. Because if there is something that's really wrong and you need to tell me anything, you will, right?
In the rest area, Ed sits at a table with Ash and Lars. Back in the bathroom.
Do you know anything about brain aneurysms?
Is that why your mom's in the hospital?
Is she gonna die?
If she's in the hospital, she's in the best place she can be, right?
Darby nods and bows her head. In the van, Jay uses the box cutter to cut through a rope tied around her waist. In the visitor center, Darby and Sandy return to the rest area. Darby glares at Ash from the doorway.
Darby, wanna join us? Please?
Darby walks up to the table and takes a seat with the others.
Said your dad was 3rd Battalion, 1st Marines?
Mm-hmm.
What'd he do?
He was a gunner.
How about that? So was I. I bet we could swap some stories.
But you said earlier about me not knowing what they go through. You're right. Darby, she told me what her dad did. When he got home. It's a tragedy. I mean, someone taking their own life like that. I can't imagine that kind of pain.
Darby looks through the window and sees Jay standing behind the van. Ash turns and sees her.
Sorry about your dad. That wasn't your goddamn story to share. You might want to think harder before you open your damn mouth.
Darby, Ash, and Lars watch Jay shivering in the cold. She runs off.
Jesus.
Ash nods and Lars gets up from his chair. He heads to the door and leaves. Ash locks eyes with Darby, staring intently. She gets up from the table and walks into the back hall.
I should go apologize.
Yeah, you should.
Ash gets up and leaves. He enters the bathroom and Darby hits him with a hammer. He wrestles her to the floor. Ash's keys fall and slide under the tool chest. Ash grabs Darby's throat. Darby claws at his chest as he strangles her.
Ash?
Lars comes in through the tarp.
What are you doing?
Where's the girl?
She went up a hiking trail. Uncle Kenny's gonna be so pissed.
Uncle Kenny's not gonna find out. We're gonna go get her right now.
She's not gonna come to us. Doesn't matter how cool she is.
Maybe not. But she'll come to her. Get up.
Come on, quick. She's gonna freeze to death.
Get up.
Hurry.
Don't worry. We're gonna find her, all right?
Okay.
She won't get far.
Yeah.
Darby grabs the keys. In the woods, Darby walks with a flashlight. Ash and Lars follow behind her.
I'm cold. It's really cold. I should have worn something warmer.
You just gotta keep pushing, all right? We're almost out of here. When we get to Uncle Kenny's, we're gonna look back at this and laugh.
Yeah, we're not gonna tell him anything, though. Remember what happened last time? He went nuts.
Yeah.
He's so pissed.
Who's Uncle Kenny?
Your foster dad. Took us in when no one else would.
Better than blood.
That's right.
Darby follows a trail of footprints in the snow.
What's Uncle Kenny thinking about your line of work?
We work for him. He finds him better homes.
Call out for her. Do it.
Jay.
Told you your little claws.
Jay.
Louder. If she dies out here, it's your fault.
Jay!
Louder.
At the top of a hill, Darby turns off the trail.
Louder so she can hear it.
Jay!
I told you.
She shines the light in their faces and rolls down the hill. Ash fires and misses. Darby crashes into a tree partway down the hill. Inside, Ed puts on his coat.
That was a gunshot.
Are you sure?
There's only one thing in the world that sounds like a gunshot.
Ed.
On the hill, Darby rolls over and picks up the flashlight. Lars and Ash take careful steps as they descend the hill. Darby sees them and crawls around to the other side of the tree. In the visitor center, Sandy watches Ed through the window. Ed scans the parking lot and sees Jay lying on her back in the snow. He runs over to her. On the hill, Darby peeks around the tree trunk. Ash and Lars descend the hill. They split up, with Lars running along the hillside. Ash approaches the tree with a pistol in hand. Darby looks down the hill and sees Lars, who continues descending. Darby watches as he stops and looks around. She looks back around the tree trunk and sees Ash approaching. In the parking lot, Ed lifts Jay and carries her to the visitor's center. Sandy meets him outside.
Is she alive?
Yeah, she's alive. She's in a bad way.
Shut!
No.
Oh.
Sandy runs ahead and opens the door. On the hill, Ash creeps closer to the tree. He stops and scans the area. Darby tosses the flashlight. Ash turns and runs towards it.
Lars!
Lars runs off in the same direction. Darby looks around before getting up from behind the tree. In the rest area, Ed lays Jay on the floor.
Oh, God, Ed, she's freezing. Give me your coat. Where the hell did she come from? Come on, honey.
Sandy rubs Jay's arms.
Come on.
What's this? It's a medical alert bracelet. She's in an adrenal crisis.
Outside, Darby looks over her shoulder as she limps across the parking lot. She walks in through the front door.
You got her.
You know this girl?
Ash and Lars kidnapped her. She was in their van.
What?
Ash has a gun. He's gonna kill us all if we don't get out of here.
Jesus.
Lars and Ash run out from the woods.
She beat us back!
I can see that.
We have to go now.
And she's right. We need to move. Come on.
What do we do?
Lars, give me a minute! All right?
Hey! Give us the girl, and no one gets hurt!
They're gonna kill us.
Ed places a chair against the door.
Don't make me come in there and get her!
That's not gonna stop them.
I'm buying us time.
What are we doing here?
Ed and Darby close the curtains and peek outside. Ash grabs Lars by the shirt.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, I got Ed. You cover the other two.
Okay.
Here they come.
Ash and Lars approach the door.
You walk through that door, I will shoot you dead.
They back away. Inside, Darby looks at Ed. He shrugs. Outside, Ash and Lars stand behind a tree.
You think he's really got a gun?
I don't know.
Ed! I think I'm gonna call bullshit on that.
Okay. Come on in.
Is it working?
Ed and Darby watch Ash and Lars through the window.
They're talking.
Good. Let them talk all they want. Out there.
Outside, Lars stands behind Ash.
We gotta get her out of there.
No shit, Lars.
She probably needs her medication.
Goddamn genius!
The girl is sick!
She needs her meds, and we have them! And...
We have them! Sandy! You're the nurse!
You know it's true, you keep her, she dies!
It's your job!
He's right.
You give it to us!
We'll be gone! It's that simple!
I say we do it.
No!
If this girl does not get her medication, she will die. Let them take her.
They can't leave. I have their keys.
What? No, you have to give them back. We want them to leave. They have to leave.
Wait a minute. Yes!
Yeah?
Give us the medicine. We will let you leave.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Give us the medicine and we'll give you the keys to your van.
Ash reaches into his pockets.
Ash? Ash!
Medicine for the key.
Ash pulls Lars aside and walks towards the van.
Are they doing it? They're walking back to the van.
Ed and Darby watch through the window as Ash and Lars open the van. Sandy looks down at Jay.
Can you see anything? Do they have the medicine?
No, they have a gas can.
What?
No!
Shit.
What the fuck do we do now?
They're bluffing. They're not crazy enough to do it.
I think maybe they are.
Just give them what they want.
If we do that, dead.
You don't know that?
Wait, wait, wait. They can't kill us if they can't leave, right? Hide the keys. These two.
He tosses Darby his keys. She runs into the back.
Ed! Hey, Ed!
Outside, Ash and Lars walk back to the visitor center. Lars carries a gas canister.
Ed, we should just give them what they want.
We've been in holes before, and we're gonna claw ourselves out of this one the way we always do.
This isn't a hole. This is a grave.
Splash it everywhere. Let's go.
In the bathroom, Darby holds the keys.
So what's your plan, Ash?
What does it look like, Ed?
It looks like you're thinking about setting fire to the only thing you care about and standing yourself at the scene of the crime.
Lars pours gasoline.
You're stupid, Ash, but you're not that stupid.
You know what's stupid, Ed? Stupid is getting yourself killed for a stranger.
I'm a Marine, you idiot. It's what we do.
Lars puts down the canister and picks up the nail gun.
How about you, Sandy? You want to die because Ed wants to play hero?
In the bathroom, Darby picks up a wrench from the counter.
You give us the medicine, we give you the keys, you drive out, and it's done.
I'm done talking, Ed!
Darby returns to the rest area.
They're hidden.
Good.
Wait. I forgot I have something better.
Darby hides the hammer and tosses Ed the wrench. Sandy gets mace from her purse.
Since when you been carrying mace?
I'd need a much bigger purse to fit everything you don't know about me.
Give me the matches.
Are we really gonna burn them?
That's up to them.
Lars hands Ash a pack of matches. Ash turns to the visitor center.
Burn!
They won't do it.
Ash lights a match.
Three!
The wind blows out the flame.
Fuck! And I don't want to die here.
Nobody is dying.
Get in here.
Ash? Come on.
Ash lights another match.
Two!
Inside, Jay sits up.
He's crazy. He's gonna do it. We should give him what he wants.
She looks at Ed and Sandy with a furrowed brow.
Is this Lowry?
Ed and Darby stare at Sandy. In a flashback, Jay records Sandy vacuuming a bedroom.
Hey guys, this is my maid, Mrs. Lowry, and now she's gonna do the dance. Ready?
No, honey, I've got work to do.
Well then, I could tell my mom about that time I caught you smoking pot on the porch. Like this.
Jay dances.
Everybody go woo! Put your hands up. Come on, dance with the vacuum. Do it!
Sandy dances stiffly.
That is so tragic.
Later, an investigator shows Sandy the video.
Is that video?
Yeah. Jay does that kind of thing all the time.
You didn't hear anything?
I was vacuuming and I had my headphones on.
Ash and Lars chase Jay up the stairs.
Oh.
They tape her arms and legs.
Okay, okay.
Let me go.
Shut up!
Let me go!
Sandy stands in the bedroom. Later, she's on a call.
The medicine wasn't where you said it would be, and now she's dying. So you can get a communist, or we'll bury this kid in the mountains, and you get nothing. Got that?
In the present, Ed glares at Sandy. Her mouth hangs open.
Wait! Wait! He doesn't have a gun!
Outside, Ash blows out the match.
What the fuck did you just do?
She's the one who fucking did.
Sandy mazes her.
Jesus Christ, Sandy! Are you crazy?
Ash!
What was she saying? The bank called me and they told me that it was all gone. Our savings, our future. All of it, Ed. All of it! So I tried to fix it. That is what I did.
Outside, Ash and Lars approach the door.
Why don't you just say something? I had a plan.
You're gonna win it back.
Coming in, Ed!
Sandy removes the chair in front of the door. Ash and Lars barge in.
Drop it! Drop it!
Ed throws down the wrench.
Lars, take over by Jake.
Huh?
Ash hands Sandy a pouch.
Do it.
Lars drags Darby next to Jay.
Stay there!
Ash aims at Ed. Sandy kneels over Jay.
Don't move! Please!
You're gonna be okay.
I just wanna go home.
Yeah, I do too.
Are you done?
Sandy holds a syringe.
Hurry up, Sandy!
She injects the medication into Jay's arm.
You'll be okay now, Jay.
Kid's gonna live. Hallelujah!
How did you even meet these freaks?
The internet.
We weren't ever even supposed to meet, and nothing was supposed to happen to Jay, and nothing is going to happen to her, right? You're still gonna ransom her, right?
They were never gonna ransom her. They traffic kids. They sell them.
You got catfished. Don't you say that.
Yeah, we're finding her a better home. Right, Ash?
That's right, Lawrence.
Yeah.
No, whatever you were planning, you could still change your minds. There's $2 million. Is someone offering you more than that? Huh? Whatever it is, Jay's parents will triple it. They'll triple it. And you get it right? I mean, they just did it for the money. It's so much money.
Sandy, this isn't about the fucking money. Shut up. We don't deliver the kid, we're fucked.
Sandy holds back, panicked tears. Jay covers her ears.
Okay. You've got her now, so why don't you just leave?
That's a good idea, Sandy. Where are the keys at?
I don't know.
I'm done playing games. Where did you put the keys?
Fuck you.
She hid them out back somewhere.
Darby!
Where did you put the keys?
Listen, you tell him that we're all dead.
Ash shoots Ed. Sandy tries to mace Ash, but Lars blocks her. Ash shoots her. Darby crawls to the can of mace on the ground. Ash runs over and kicks her. Ash picks up the can of mace. Sandy crawls over to Ed's body. She weeps as she takes his hand and kisses it. Ash walks up behind her and aims the pistol at her head. Darby shuts her eyes. Ash drags her across the floor. He picks up the nail gun and holds her head against a wooden wall by the corner. Darby struggles, trying to pull her hand away. Ash nails her wrist to the wall.
Ash!
Lars kneels on the ground, covering his eyes. Ash kneels next to him.
Hey, let me see. We're gonna wash it out, okay? Come on. Jay, if you move, I'll kill her.
Darby watches as they walk into the back. Blood drips from her wrist as she tries pulling it from the wall. Her face strains. She slumps back against the wall. Darby looks over at the hammer in the corner. In the bathroom, Lars rinses his eyes.
You killed him. You shot him dead. You shot him.
In the rest area, Darby reaches for the hammer with her foot. She taps the handle with her heel, but it's just out of reach. Darby turns her head and looks over at Jay.
Jay.
Jay lifts her head.
I need your help. It's okay.
I had no choice. I have to look after us.
I have to look after you,
Lars!
Darby nods desperately as Jay crawls towards her. Lars and Ash are in the bathroom.
I need you to keep it together. We just gotta get the keys and we're gone. All right, come on. Let's go.
In the rest area, Jay hands Darby the hammer. Darby looks over at the back wall. Jay and Lars walk back in. Jay rests her head on Darby's shoulder.
It's quitting time, Darby. Where are the keys?
I don't. Have them.
Ash pulls out Darby's phone from his coat pocket. He looks at the screen, then glances at Darby. He crouches down in front of her and they lock eyes.
Your mom died.
He holds up the phone. Darby's tired eyes are fixed on the screen. She turns away and trembles.
Thoughts and prayers.
Ash puts down the phone. Lars bows his head. Ash checks the phone and sees a text from 911. Police dispatch to Muir's Rest. Please call 911 if safe to do so. Ash gets up and turns to Lars.
What's wrong?
The text of the cops went through.
You know she sent a text?
Yeah, but I deleted it.
Ash kneels in front of Darby.
Where are the keys? Keys! Where are the keys, Darby?
Ash grabs Jay's arm.
No! Please! No!
He holds the nail gun over her wrist.
Ash, don't!
Ash puts down the nail gun and gets up.
Lars!
He shows Lars the pistol and aims it at Jay and Darby.
All right, hold it. Come on. If she tries anything, you shoot her, okay?
Lars holds the pistol. Ash walks into the back hallway. In his cruiser, the police officer drives along the highway. Behind the visitor center, Ash opens the tarp in the bathroom wall and climbs outside. In the rest area, Jay sits huddled next to Darby, who is still nailed to the wall. Lars sits in a chair with his shoulders slumped and head bowed. Darby glances between Jay and Lars.
It's okay, Jay. We're gonna be out of here soon.
Darby looks over at a light switch panel on the back wall. She looks down at Jay, then back at Lars. Outside, Ash searches through the snow. Inside, Darby turns to Jay. Darby and Jay look over at the light switch panel.
I can't. Yes, you can. He won't hurt you.
Lars watches Jay as she gets up.
Jay? What are you doing?
Lars,
Jay,
I know you don't want to hurt Jay.
Go back now. Jay, sit down.
Lars, listen to me. You're not that guy, Lars. You don't have to do this.
Jay?
Lars, that's not who you are.
Don't.
You're not like him.
Shut up.
Put the gun down, Lars.
Stop.
Lars, she's just a little girl.
Tell her to sit down. Tell her.
It's okay, Jay. It's okay.
I need you to sit down, okay?
Darby takes out the bag of white powder.
Jay, where are you going, Jay? Please.
She snorts it.
Don't know what's going to happen. Don't make me use this. Jay? I need to sit down now. Jay? Before he comes back, I need to sit down. Wait.
Jay turns off the lights.
Turn the light back on.
Lars grabs her.
Stay down.
Darby hooks onto the nail with the back of the hammer. Darby pulls the nail out of her wrist. Outside, Ash finds the keys. Inside, Lars turns on the lights. Darby hits him with the hammer. Outside, Ash raises his head and gets up.
Oh, shit!
He rushes to a window and looks inside. He continues running up to the front door. He raises the nail gun and steps inside. Darby holds the pistol to Lars's head.
Sorry.
Drop it off, fucking kill him.
No, don't let her.
She's not gonna do it.
The
it's okay.
Fuck out of her! Drop it!
Hey, leave him alone! Leave him alone!
Then do what I fucking say!
Jay strikes the nail gun with the hammer. It shoots a nail partway into Lars's forehead. He stands still with wide eyes. Darby raises the pistol.
Ash, I feel weird.
Lars, I got you.
Ash.
Hey, don't touch it.
Come on. Holy shit, I see my head. Is it bad?
Jay and Darby back out of the door.
I wanna go home.
Listen. I'm gonna get you home, okay? Come on. He's the man, all right? Yeah?
Come on, come on. Go, go, go!
Go home, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then,
Ash, help me get out of here.
We're gonna go.
Lars slips on a pool of blood and lands face first on the floor.
Get in the car!
Outside, Jay and Darby get into the sports car. Ash stands over Lars.
Lars?
He kneels down and turns Lars over, revealing the nail fully pressed into his head. Ash's face falls as he looks down at the lifeless body. In the car, Darby turns the ignition with the screwdriver. Ash raises his head. The car tires spin and it reverses out of its spot. Ash steps outside and shoots nails into the tires. Ash continues shooting and shatters the passenger window. Darby swerves the car around the Jeep. The car crashes into a post at the back of the lot. Inside, Darby and Jay sit unconscious. Across the lot, Ash looks at the crashed car with wide eyes. He looks back over his shoulder at the visitor center. Jay and Darby remain still inside the car. Ash walks back to the visitor center with a weary face. In the car, Darby opens her eyes. Outside, Ash stands in front of the door of the visitor center. He looks down at Lars's body through the window. Ash takes out a match and lights it. He drops the match and ignites the trail of gasoline. Ash looks at Lars's body as the flames consume the walls of the visitor center. In the car, the bruised Darby struggles to lean forward. Outside the visitor center, the flames flicker in front of Ash's brooding face. In the car, Jay sits unconscious. Darby leans forward in her chair and looks through the side view mirror. She sees Ash standing in front of the flaming visitor center. Ash turns around and marches back towards the car. Darby reaches for the screwdriver on the floor of the car. Outside, Ash sees the cruiser turning into the parking lot. He covers the nail gun under his coat. The officer looks at the flaming building.
Oh my Christ.
He gets out of his cruiser and sees Ash standing behind the car.
Oh, thank God! Officer!
In the car, Darby reaches for the pistol.
Sir, step away from the car! There are people that are hurt! I need to see both your hands! They are hurt real bad!
The officer aims at Ash. Darby holds the pistol and looks through the mirror. Ash holds the nail gun.
No! Sir! We're not listening to me!
Please!
God, hurry up! Help us!
Darby opens the door and shoots Ash in the arm. The officer sees Darby.
Hey, you! Stop! Listen to me! Put your weapon down!
Wait, you don't get...
Ash reaches for the nail gun. The officer shoots Darby in the stomach. She falls next to Ash. Ash looks at her with wide eyes. Ash picks up the pistol and shoots the officer. He gets up and stands over Darby, who lies clutching her stomach. He aims the pistol at her head. He sees that it's empty and tosses it aside. Ash looks over his shoulder before picking up the nail gun. Ash lumbers towards the officer who lies on his back on the other side of the lot. He shoots several nails into the officer's head. Ash drops the nail gun and picks up the officer's pistol. Darby lies writhing in pain on the snow. Ash stands over her. He kneels down beside her and holds the pistol to the side of her head.
Mommy, how was it again? Was it like this?
He aims at her temple.
Was it like this?
He presses the pistol under her chin.
No. It was like this.
Darby grabs the screwdriver. She stabs him in the neck. He drops the pistol and writhes on top of her.
Oh.
Blood spills onto the white snow. Darby watches the life fade from Ash's eyes. His body slumps over hers. She pushes his body aside and lies on the snow. From above, Darby lies next to Ash's body. Her blood-covered hands rest over her stomach.
Where are you?
Still overhead, the crashed car is just beyond Darby's feet. Jay sits in the passenger seat. Moving back out of the car, Darby is gone. A trail of bloody handprints in the snow leads away from Ash's body.
Darby!
Following from above, the trail leads across the parking lot. The trail of blood continues behind the crashed car. Still crossing the lot, the red trail cuts through the white snow. Across the lot, the trail reaches Darby's feet as she crawls up to the body of the police officer. She grabs the radio from his jacket and holds it to her mouth.
I need help.
Darby rolls onto her back and rests her arms at her sides.
Are you in need of assistance? Unit 45, are you in need of assistance? I repeat, Unit 45.
With a blood-stained face, she looks up at the falling snow. The flashing lights of the squad car tinge the night sky blue and orange as the snow falls. The night sky fades into the snowy mountain landscape of the painting in the rehab center. Darby stares up at the painting and bows her head. She looks around at the support group members sitting with her in a circle.
Darby, 48 days.
In Darby's room, a crayon drawing of Jay and Darby flying in front of a rainbow is taped to the wall. On her bed, Darby sits writing in a notebook.
You've got a visitor.
In the hallway, a nurse leads Darby through a corridor. The nurse leads her to a waiting room door with a glass window. Darby looks through the window before opening the door. Darby's face softens as she steps through the door. A young woman with dark hair sits with her head bowed.
Devin?
Devin, the young woman, raises her head and stands. She locks eyes with Darby, and they both share a solemn look. Audio description by Descriptive Video Works, funded by Disney Plus, and narrated by Peter Shad.